All right, Tomosa, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday on today's daf is daf Chof Ches. We left off yesterday on daf Chof Zayin on the base, two lines from the bottom, the Ika de Amri. So we'll say another version of yesterday's discussion, if you remember. Yesterday's discussion really centered around on Amud Beis, centered around a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that a zar, a non-kohen who sets up the wood of the ma'aracha, is chayiv misa. And the Gemara challenged that assertion based on a number of different things. So now the Gemara has a different version of that discussion. The Gemara says the following: Ika de Amri. There are those who say the following: Ika de Amri, maskif la Rabbi Zera, v'chiyesh lecha avod v'sheyesh achara avod v'psula b'zar. So Rabbi Zera raises a contradiction or a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Rabbi Yochanan, you want to suggest that if a non-kohen goes ahead and arranges the wood of the ma'aracha, that he would be chayiv misa. But do we find the concept that when you have an avoda that has after it another avoda, that it would be psula bizar? I will say, what does this mean? What Rabbi Zera is suggesting is the only type of avoda that is really psula bizar is what we'll call a concluding avoda, an avoda that is the final that has no follow up avoda after it, as opposed to, let's say, the arrangement of the ma'aracha, which does have a follow up avoda. What's the follow up avoda? Look at Rashi. Sheyesh acharah sidur avoda, sidur shnei gzirin. So I'll say, for example, the arrangement of the wood of the ma'aracha does have a follow-up avoda, namely what? The bringing of the two pieces of wood, top of Chof Ches. So Gemara says, 1 second. Vahari evarim upidarim. What about the burning of, this is, by the way, so you're going to see that today's conversation is going to be very much repetitive of what we saw yesterday. So Gemara says, what about evarim and pidarim? What about the burning of the fats and the leftover limbs? Because interestingly enough, this is viewed as a concluding avoda, even though what? Even though Lamaisa Trumas Hadeshan ultimately follows it. The Gemara says, no, Evarma Pudarma is different. Why? Sof avoda diyamamahi. It is considered to be a complete, see what I said, everything centers around how you view the events on the sacrificial clock. You see, the Gemara now, the Hamim of the Gemara is that the burning of the leftover fats and limbs, Lamaisa, is not the concluding avoda, Trumas Hadeshan, the removal of the ash, in which case, again, using the logic that we said before, that a zar should not be chayiv if he does a varma pudarim, but yet he is. So the Gemara says, no, because a varma pudarim is different because it is a concluding avoda. How is it a concluding avoda? Because it is considered to be the last avoda of the day. I see the Gemara says, vahari trumas hadeshen. What about Trumas Hadeshen? Then I will say again, by Trumas Hadeshen, you could say that, remember, Trumas Hadeshen is also not a concluding avoda. After all, what happens after Trumas Hadeshen? You have to remove the rest of the ash. Remember, we spoke about before, Trumas Hadeshen is only the removal of a kamitza, of a very small amount of ash. But then after that, the actual ash pile has to be removed from the top of the Mizbeach. So you see that Trumas Hadeshen is not a concluding avoda, and yet what? And yet it's psula bizar, to which the Gemara says, no. Trumas Hadeshen is different. Why? Tchilas avoda diyamamahi. Because it is the first avoda of the day, and because it is the first avoda of the day, it has a certain amount of chashivos. How do we know that Trumas Hadeshen is the first avoda of the day? Da'am Rav Yochanan, kidesh yodav l'trumas Hadeshen, l'machar ina tzarech l'kadish, shekvar kidesh mitchilas avoda. Because when if a kohen washed his hands and feet for Trumas Hadeshen, when the sun rises and it is a new day, he need not sanctify his hands and feet again, which indicates that what? That Trumas Hadeshen is indeed the first avoda of the day. Elakasha. So therefore, we're back to our original question, which was Rabbi Zera's question, which is there such a concept of an avoda that is not a concluding avoda that is psula bizar? Ela'i itmar hachi itmar. Right? This is what you have to say. Amr Abasi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, zar shesidir shnei gzirei eitzim chayiv. Oh, so we'll say, so now comes along Rabasi, name Rabbi Yochanan, and now the Gemara reframes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about arrangement of the wood on the pyre. Rather, what is he referring to? He's referring to the arrangement of the two pieces, the two additional pieces of wood. And if a zar, if a non-kohen does that, he is chayiv misa. Why? Hoil va'avoda tamahi. because it is a concluding avoda. So then I will say again, now what the Gemara has done is reframed its statement, or the Rabbi Yochanan has reframed this statement, that Ein Hachinami Azar, a non-Kohen, is only chayav for doing an avoda tama, concluding avoda. Maskif la-Rava, but if that's the case, that the placement of the two additional pieces of wood on top of the Mizbeach is a concluding avoda, then it should require a lottery. So the Gemara says, okay, but it does require a lottery. But we learned earlier that whoever won the lottery of the Trumas Hadeshen also won the privilege of placing the two pieces of wood on top of the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar, yefaisla b'fnei atzma. No. If lemaisa this avodah of shnei gizrei etzim is so important, then it should get its own lottery. To which the Gemara says, no, it doesn't get its own lottery. Why? Kida aminon. This is based on what we said before. What did we say earlier? We'll say, why was it included in Trumas Hadeshen? Because you had to sweeten the deal. You had to sweeten the deal because the Kohanim were not getting up just to go ahead and remove the ash. They had to throw in the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. But in Achinami, technically, without this reason, you would have had its own separate pious. Lememra, so now, based on what we've just said, we would posit the following. Da avoda tama vizar chayiv aleha misa baye pious. If that's the case, then what you're telling me is, any concluding avoda, that if a zar non-kohen does it, he's chayiv misa, should require its own lottery. Okay, then based on that criteria, ein zar chayiv aleha misa, lo baye pious. But if a zar would not be chayiv misa for doing this particular avoda, then it does not get its own lottery. Well, using that criteria, vahari shchita. What about shchita? I also remember there is a pious, there is a lottery for shchita, and yet what? Shchita is kshera bizar, right? If a non-kohen did shchita, remember, we'll say what we're trying to figure out over here, same thing as we did on the base yesterday, is these criteria. So now, Gemara is saying, based on what you told me, is that the criteria for being a lottery-worthy avoda is that it has to be a concluding avoda, and it has to be asura bizar, that if a non-kohen does a chayiv misa. If you satisfy those two criteria, then lemaisa, the avoda should get its own lottery. Okay, shchita. Shchita gets its own lottery, and yet what? It's kshera bizar. To which the Gemara says, "Shani shchita de tchilas avoda di yamamahi." Shchita is different. Why? Literally, shchita is the beginning of the avoda of the day. It's the first thing that's done in the day. So, we'll say again, in that type of circumstance, what the Gemara is saying is shchita defies the rules. Again, it's the exception because it has a chashivas because it's the beginning. Lemeimra de avoda tama bayi pais avoda shiisha achar avoda lo bayi pais. Now you're telling me that it's only a concluding avoda that requires a lottery, but an avoda that has after it another avoda does not require a lottery. Vahari evarim upidarim sof avoda diyamamehi. But what about the burning of the fats and the limbs? So now the Gemara says lemeimar da avoda tama baye pais avoda sheishachar avoda lo baye pais. So now the Gemara is suggesting, based on what we said above, only a concluding avoda should require a lottery, but an avoda that has another avoda after it should not require a lottery. What about the burning of the fats and limbs? Again, Abbas is like we just said before. So what's the Gemara asking? The Gemara is saying the burning of the fats and limbs is not a concluding avoda. Why? What do you have after it? You have Trumas Hadesh, the removal of the ash. To which the Gemara says it is a concluding avoda. Why? Sof avoda diyamamahi. Because it is the end of the daytime avoda. I hurry Trumas Hadesh. What about Trumas Hadeshen? Trumas Hadeshen is not an avoda tama. It's not a concluding avoda because afterwards you have to remove the rest of the ash. The Gemara says you're right. Mishum Maisa Shahaya. You know why we go ahead and we do a lottery by Trumas Hadeshen? Because of the Kohanic aggression that we spoke about earlier. So the Gemara says Amar Marzut Ravi Itim Ravashi Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have also learned this concept. Rashi says over here, Af anan namitanina, the sidur gezirin avoda tamahi, that the arrangement of the two pieces of wood is considered to be a concluding avoda. So the Gemara says, where do we know that from? The Gemara says, dit amar lahem ha-mamuna, actually, mostly this is our next Mishnah, because the Mamuna, the Skan Kohen Gadol, would say to the Kohanim, tsu'u ureu im higia zman ha-shchita. Go out and see if the time of the shchita has arrived. The ilu zman sidur gezire etzim lo katani. But yet, the time of the Shnei Gezira Eitzim, the Kohen never told them to go up and what? To go up and see if the daylight is broken for the arrangement of the two pieces of wood. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here, Abosai? You see from here that Lemaisa, the Shnei Gezira Eitzim, can be done at night. If the Shnei Gezira Eitzim could be done at night, that would seem to indicate that it's the last Avoda, really, of the nighttime, which would then make it an Avoda Tama. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Hach de lesle takanta katani, Hach de isle takanta lo katani. In reality, says the first of all, look at Rashi, the ilus man shnei gizrei itzim lo katani, alma avodas lailahi. Therefore, you see from here that since they did not look for daybreak before putting the two pieces of wood on the mizbech, it would seem to be that it could be done at night. Vehu gemar sidur ma'aracha, v'sidur ivarim shavodas yom tchilas avoda acheresi, below Gemara Sidur HaMa'arachi. So we'll say, remember what the Gemara is trying to prove over here. The Gemara is trying to prove that Lamaisa, any concluding avoda, is going to be asura bizar, and is going to require a pious. So the Gemara says, what's the proof that Shnei Gizrei Eitzim is an avoda tama? The raya is that they would not look for daybreak before putting the two pieces of wood. They would only look for daybreak before shechting the tamid, which indicates to us that the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim was the last avoda of the night. It was an avoda. It was the concluding avoda. To which the Gemara says, you can't bring a raya from this brisa. Why? Or this Mishnah? Hach de lesle takanta katani, hach de isle takana lo katani. We actually spoke this out yesterday. The reason they were dafka meticulous to look for daybreak. In reality, you need daybreak both for the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, for the two pieces of wood, as well as for the carbon tamid. But what's the difference? If you make a mistake with the carbon tamid, you're in trouble because you shechted a sacrificial animal for no purpose. And there's a whole process for disposing of the carcass of that animal. As opposed to if you accidentally put the two pieces of wood on the mizbeach a little too early before daybreak, then what? What's the remedy? Take it off. So therefore, the Gemara says, essentially, in a situation where there was no remedy, that's when the Kohen Gadol sends everybody up to the rooftop looking for the sun. But Lemaisa, where there is an easy remedy, the Skan Kohen Gadol does not send everybody looking for daybreak. Okay? Well, say, just so you should know, the way you pass Kohen Gadol Lemaisa is that a zar is chayiv misa only for the placement of the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, only for the placement of the two pieces of wood. If a non-Kohen were to arrange the ma'aracha, were to arrange the general pyre, he would not be chayiv misa. That being said, what would we have to do? This is on the top of Ahmed Aleph. You would have to go ahead and deconstruct it, and a Kohen would have to reconstruct it. So remember, the ma'aracha itself has to be built by a Kohen as well, but lemaisa, you're not chayiv misa if you do it. Only chayiv misa for Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. Hadron Aloch Barishona. Amar Lehem HaMamuna. It was a new parak, very exciting parak. Now we're back to Yom Kippur. We spent a lot of time just speaking about general karbanos. Now we're back to Yom Kippur. So Amar Lehem HaMamuna. The Mamuna said to him, and Rashi points out over here that the Mamuna is Huasgan. This is the assistant Kohen Gadol. So the assistant Kohen Gadol said to the Kohanim, Tzu'u, go out and see, Im Higia Zman Hashchita, if the time for the shechting of the tamid has arrived. Now, also remember, the tamid could only be shechted as of daybreak. Rashi says over here, Zman ha-shechita, shechita sa-tamid kilomar im heir ha-mizrach, sha-shechita psula balayla. You can't shecht a tamid at night. Why? Kidichsiv, biyom zivchachem. Because the Torah says, on the day that you will offer it. Okay, so what would happen? Haroa omer, if indeed the dawn had dawned, I guess that's the arrived. Okay, good. If the dawn arrived, imigia haroa omer brakai. So the roa, the person who was looking for it, would say brakai. Now, what does brakai mean? Look at Rashi. Brakai lashon sohar. It's a lashon of light. Brakai. He says, Kimo lema'ar. Okay, fine. Quotes passage from Tehillim. Masya ben Shmuel says, Heir p'nei kola mizrach ad shevech Hebron, v'hu omer hein. So we'll say it's interesting. We'll see who said what. But what it sounds like is the Skan, who is standing on the ground level, would say to the guy who was up on the elevation, has the entire eastern horizon until Hebron become illuminated? And he, the guy on top, would respond, yes. Why do they have to go ahead and do this? Lam hutzukulakach shepam achas. Also, I just say something interesting, just as an aside. The Yerushalmi Maseches Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph asks, actually has a little bit of a greater discussion about this, and writes, why do they ask until Chevro? Right? What does that mean? So the Gemara says over here that Lemaisa, the Yerushalmi explains that Lemaisa, again, what it means is they were talking about, yeah, of course, he says, Kedei lehizacher schus avos shem kavurim bechevro. That it wasn't a literal question, as has the entire horizon, you know, illuminated until Chevron, but from the beginning of the day, what we do as a klal is we evoke schus avos. We bring up a memory of our patriarchs. In fact, the Rashba says that this is why when Anshei Knesset HaGadola instituted Shmona Esrei, what's the first thing they put in Shmona Esrei? The Bracha of Avos. Where do they know to do that? Why? How do they know to begin ultimately Shmona Esrei with Schus Avos? Because that's what it is. We are bringing up the merit of our forefathers. So the Rashba suggests, this is in the Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelik Aleph, Simen Kuf Chav, Tav Chav Gimel, he says that it's based on this Mishnah. The same way that the day in the Beis Hamikdash began with an allusion to Schus Avos to Chevron, because remember, that's where the Avos and Imos, with the exception of Rachel Imenu, are buried. So too Shmona Esrei begins with Schus Avos. Okay. Why do they have to go through this whole process? I mean, it's like, obviously, why do you have to start getting up on rooftops? Why can't they just tell? They can tell when it becomes light. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Mizrach. Because what happens? Because one time, apparently, the sky was illuminated because of the moonlight, and people mistook the moonlight ultimately for sunlight. They shechted the carbon tamid, and obviously it was invalid. And they had to go out to the base. The base asrefa was an area outside of the base hamikdash where they burnt invalid sacrifices. What happens next? Horidu koin gadol base hatvila. After this, remember also, this is the Seder of the day of Yom Kippur. So after they offered, after day broke, what did they do? They took the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTvila, to the Mikvah. Zeh HaKlal HaYu BeMikdash. This is the general rule in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaMesach Es Raglov Ta'on Tvila. We'll say, this is interesting. Mesach Es Raglov literally means cover your feet. That's a euphemism for moving one's bowels. Anyone who moved one's bowels automatically had to go to the mikvah. It's actually amazing. You had to go to the mikvah after every time one moved one's bowels. V'chol ha-matil mayim, after every time one urinates, ton kiddush edayim v'raglayim. That required a sanctification of one's hands and feet. Okay, we'll see exactly why the Mishnah brought this in right over here. It says the Gemara, Amar Beis, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Barak Barakai. So also we're going to see now, what's interesting over here, the Mishnah just said that the guy who was on top, who was on the elevation, would just yell out, Barakai, right? The dawn has arrived. Or literally, Barakai just means light. We're going to see now there's a machlokes as to how much light was actually necessary in order for them to offer up the carbon tamid. So Tanya Rabbi Shmuel says, Barak Barakai. No, it's not just enough for Barakai. Rather, you need Barak Barakai. That's even more light. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Allah Barakai. Rabbi Akiva says, you have to see enough light to be able to say, the Barakai, the dawn has risen. Nechuma ben Afkashion. Never heard of this name before. Nechuma ben Afkashion, Omer, Af Barakai Chevron. It is even illuminated to Chevron. Masya ben Shmuel, Omer, Masya ben Shmuel says, Hamemuna ala payosos, Omer, Heir Pnei kol ha-mizrach ad shebechevron. So Masya ben Shmuel says, that the one, actually, who was the one who was doing this? It was the one who was in charge of the lotteries, which I both say could be, we saw earlier, that could also be the Scan Kohen Gadol who ran all the lotteries. He would go up and he would say, Omer, Heyer Pnei Kala Mizrach Ad Shebech Hebron. The entire eastern horizon until Hebron is illuminated. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Heyer Pnei Kala Mizrach Ad Bechevron. V'yatzu kala am ish ish lemalachto. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would say that the entire horizon, right, the entire eastern horizon until Chevron is illuminated, and everyone has gone out to work. Right, everyone has gone out to work. Now, I will say again, if everybody's going out to work, that's even a significant amount of light. Iachi, if that's the case, nagalotuva. If everybody's going out to work, then lemaisa again, that's a lot of light. So the Gemara says, no. Liskar polim kaminan. Well, it's actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, liskar polim. He says, hi. excuse me. He says, "Hi, yatu ishlo malachto, lav ala poalim koi." So when we say that people went out to work, this is not about the workers. Who is it talking about? El koi al bala bayis shehim mashkim bioser limtzo polimus chavosai. If you needed day laborers, if you needed day laborers, right? So when did you head to Home Depot, right? If you needed day laborers, so what happened? So you would get up earlier in order to go ahead and go find the day. Like, again, all kidding aside, it's not so different. People who were looking for day labor, so would congregate in certain areas. If I was an employer and I wanted to get some people, I would get up even earlier so that I could be there at the time when people begin to come out. So you might suggesting over here that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the guy who was going up on the elevation would say that the entire east is illuminated and there's enough light that the people going out to look for laborers have already gone out. So I'll say, obviously, when people were actually measuring time through looking at the horizon, these statements were all significant. For us, it doesn't hold all that much meaning, because for us it would probably be even hard to discern or to measure exactly what they're talking about. But for them, this was meaningless. So the Gemara says, Amar of Safra. Well, so now the Gemara goes a little bit of a tangent. Amar of Safra, Tzaluse de Avram, the Tfila of Avraham Avinu, Michi Meshachri Kosle, is when the walls begin to darken. I will say, this is interesting. What's Tzaluse de Avram? Rashi says, Tfila Sa'erev Shalom, Mincha. Mincha. I've also listened to this. Now, the Ritva asks an obvious question, that the Gemara Maseches Brachas says that what? That it was Avraham Avinu Davin Shachris, right? Mincha is the Tfilah of Yitzchak. So listen to this. He says something amazing. This is the Ritva on this Dab. See, he says, Pirshaga Onim Zal, V'chein Kasav Sefer Aruch, the Avram Lav Davka, Ela Tfilas HaAvos. V'noket Avram shu avlu kulam v'akvi karam. So I'll say the first answer that's given in the Aruch is that Tzaluse d'Avram doesn't literally mean the prayer of Avram. Avram means avos. That sometimes Chazal, when they speak about the avos, the patriarchs in general, they'll just say Avram. So okay, that's possibility one. Vim tomar lo Yitzchak tikein tfilas amincha kide isa per tfilas hashachar. So remember, what about the fact that the Gemara explicitly links mincha with Yitzchak? So he quotes a Tosas and Meseches Brachos. And I've also said, this is an amazing Tosas. Tosas says, the af Avraham hayo mispalel osa, ela mitnei she Yitzchak tikein osa l'chala olam, tala osa akasa b'Yitzchak kide siv v'yeti Yitzchak l'chsoa basada. I've also listened to this. See, because Tosas and Brachos says, everyone thinks that each of the patriarchs just davened one tefillah. He says it's not true. Avram davened in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. What each of the avos did is that they had a particular tefillah that spoke to them. So I'm not going to say they institutionalized it, because obviously there's no institutionalized prayer at the time of the patriarchs. It comes much, much later. But each of them had a particular connection to a particular tefillah. So Avram's connection was to the morning. And if we have time at the end, I'll tell you why this is this way. But Avram's tefillah was the morning tefillah. Yitzchak's was the afternoon, and Yaakov's was the evening. But Lemaisa, Avraham was the first one to daven in the afternoon as well. So again, two answers as to why it calls it Tzaluse d'Avram. Either number one, Avram doesn't mean Avram, rather what does it mean? Just means Avos. Or answer number two is that indeed Avraham Avinu was the first one to daven mincha. It's just that Yitzchak was the one who felt this incredible pull, affinity, and connection to this tefillah, and that's why it's known by his name. So the Gemara says, when can you begin to daven mincha? Michi mishachri kosli, when the walls begin to darken. I'm also saying, this is very interesting. What does it mean when the walls begin to darken? Rashi points out over here that he says in the middle of Rashi michi mishachri kosli. Rashi says ubetchilas sheva shos. This is the beginning of the seventh hour. Now, also, what is the beginning of the seventh hour? That's midday. Beginning of the seventh hour is six full hours into the day. So the Gemara says like this. Remember, when the sun is shachama be'emtza rakia, berosh kol adam. Now, what's interesting over here is the following. When the sun, and this, you just have to think about this for a moment. When the sun is directly overhead, actually the walls cast a shadow. Because what ends up happening is the sun beats down the top of the walls, and the top of the walls cast a shadow on the sides. So what the Gemara is saying is, you can begin to daven mincha from the time in which there's a shadow on the walls, which is midday. By the way, I should say it differently. Tchilas sheva shos means the beginning of the seventh hour, which is really into the sixth hour. Right? Remember in halacha how this works. That ultimately anything past hour number six is the beginning of the seventh hour, which is midday. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says you can begin to daven mincha from midday. So the Gemara says, really, Amar Rav Yosef, Anan me'avram nikum v'nigmar? So Rav Yossi says, should we really learn from Avraham Avinu? Amarava Tana Gamar Me'ap. So let's say that again. Rav Yossi said, Anam Avram Neko Menigmar. Should we really learn out from Avraham Avinu? Rashi says, Basa Lilandenu. Rav Yossi's reason Kavra. So as the Gemara teaching us, there was the assumption that when Avraham Avinu davened, he davened punked at the right time. So are we learning from Avraham Avinu the sense of Zrizus? Are we really being held to an Avraham Avinu standard of Zrizus? So the Gemara says, Amarava Tana Gamar Me'avram. The Anon Logamrin. I mean, yes. Rabbi says if the Tana is going to learn out this man from Avraham Avinu, should we not also learn out that we have to be Zaras like Avraham Avinu? We'll say, where do we know Zrizos from Avraham Avinu? The Sanya. The Rabbi says, Vayomashmini Mabasa Allah. So on the eighth day, we'll say, referring to Bris Milah, on the eighth day, you will go ahead and perform the circumcision on the flesh of the Arla. What do we learn from here? That the entire day is kosher for Mila. Also, you can do a bris Mila the entire day because it just says Bayom HaShmini. As long as it's on the eighth day, you fulfill the mitzvah. Ela Shaz, reason makdim el mitzvahs. It also is a very important Gemara. But we learn that there's a concept of Zrizos. And what does Zrizos mean? That we, with alacrity, we go ahead and we perform mitzvahs as quickly as possible, as soon as possible. Where do we know that from? Shneemar, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Because Rav Yossi, the pasuk says by the Akedah that Avram got up early in the morning and he saddled his own donkey. So Rav Yossi, we learn from Avram Avinu the concept of Zrizos. Rather, what Rav Yosef's kasha was the following. What was his problem? This nan chal arve psachim lios b'arav Shabbos nishchat b'sheish u'mechta. The Kariv B'Sheva Umechza. So the Gemara says, because what do we say? We remember this from our Pesachim days, that if Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, then when do you shecht the Karban Tamid? You shecht, this is Tamid Shal Ben Arba in the afternoon Tamid, you shecht it at 6.5 hours into the day, and you offer it on the Mizbeach at 7.5 hours into the day. But remember, if that's the case, V'nishchete Michi Meshachri Kosle. But Rabbi say if it's the Tamid Shal, if it's the afternoon Tamid, then the afternoon Tamid should really be able to be offered by when? At the time when the walls begin to darken, when there's a shadow on the walls, which is what time? Which is midday. So why are you waiting till 6.5 hours into the day? To which the Gemara says, my kushya, what's the question? The Dilma kosli de beis hamikdash b'sheish u'mechza meshachri mishum delo mechav nituva. Rabbi say maybe here's the difference. The difference is that the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, in fact, do not become darkened until 6.5 hours into the day. Why? Because the walls themselves are not exact. I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, the Lo Mechavni, Lo Havu Zekufim B'Tzimtzum, Ulefi Shachoma Haiso Rechava Milamata, V'Holeches U'Miskatzeres V'Ola, Ulefi Chach Ein Chodo Shal Sfas Ovyov, L'Mala Meitza Zekifas. Also, it's very interesting. Apparently, the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were tapered. They were wide at the bottom, and what? And they got narrower on top. I will say, therefore, because of that, the top was not as thick. Because the top was not as thick, remember, the sun did not cast the shadow on them, or there was not shade on them at exactly midday. Apparently, at midday, when the sun was overhead, the light of the sun was on the walls themselves. It was only sometime post-midday, i.e. at 6.5 hours, when the sun began to move out of its midday position, that there was a shadow on the wall. So the Gemara says, it's not really a contradiction. Everybody's agreeing that you can, I mean, the Gemara is actually just being quite literal, that the time for the Karban Tamid is when there's a shadow on the walls. And the shadow of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash was not until 6.5 hours into the day. Ina, I mean, another possibility is, Shiny Avram. Avram Avinu is different. Why? It's Takninos Gedola Haisa Belibo. Avram Avinu, Rashi points out over here, it's Tagninos, Lios, Baki, Bahalichos, Hamazolos, Utchilas, Hashos. So we'll say apparently Avraham Avinu was an astrological expert, right? I'm sorry? He was a Yekka, right? So Avraham Avinu knew exactly the way the sun, the stars, the moons, the constellations, he knew all this stuff. So for Avraham Avinu, measuring time through the sun, he was able to do it as an exact science. But the truth is, most of us, when dealing with telling time from the sun, there's some margin of error. So apparently, the way we compensate for the potential margin of error is to what? Is to say that we're not going to begin to do anything related to the afternoon until 6.5 hours into the day. Look at Rashi. It's Tagninos. Rashi says, Lios Baki Bahalichas Hamazolos Utchilas Hashos. He was an expert in the constellations, the beaming of the hours, the Hatanya Baba Basra, Vashabirach Sabram Bakol, it's Tagninos Kidola Hai Sabalibo. The Kol Malchi Mizrach Umarav Mashkim of his Cholish Obamazolos. So we'll say you have to understand something. When we talk about this at it's Tagninos, there is this concept that Chazal speak about of certain wisdom, of certain knowledge that is embedded in one's ability to read the stars. This, whatever this means, and Avraham Avinu was very proficient in this, to the point that other kings used to show up at Avraham Avinu's doorstep to help them interpret what the stars were saying. So the point, but we're not getting into the stars. The point over here is that Avraham Avinu was a baki, was an expert in being able to tell time based on the sun, and therefore, again, for him, he knew that mincha time, so to speak, the afternoon began at dafka midday, but for the rest of us, so there's a margin of error, wait until 6.5 hours. So I think Gemara brought this up. The Gemara goes ahead and spends a little bit of time on this. Inami, or another possibility, is mishum dezakin v'yoshe v'yeshiva hava. That Avraham Avinu was old, was a zakin. And remember, the Gemara is operating over here, but also the Gemara says elsewhere that zakin is an acronym for Ze Shekana Chachma. That what does Zakin mean? Zakin means one who has acquired wisdom. And also the interesting part about this is we assume that every Zakin is a Chacham. Why? Why? Because through life, you acquire, just by living life, you acquire a lot of wisdom. Even a person doesn't have a lot of Torah wisdom, they have a lot of life wisdom. That's why, again, this is the whole concept of Mipnei Seva, talking about that, Mipnei Zakin. Why are we obligated to respect the elderly, no matter really who and what they are, meaning how much Torah they know or they don't know? Because, again, we assume that every older person has amassed some level of wisdom. So that's Zakin, Zet Shekana Chachma. So the Gemara says, V'yoshev B'yeshiva. And he was sitting in Yeshiva. So what does it mean he was sitting in Yeshiva? So what he was learning in Kolel. So, of course, Shaila. But what it means over here, yeshiva, we're going to see is the term that's ultimately used for one who just immerses himself in spirituality. That's what Avraham Avinu, especially in his advanced years, when he wasn't for the running around spreading the word of God as much, he was established in yeshiva, in his sitting, in his spirituality. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Chama Barachanim, Yamein Shal Avosinu Lo Parshi Yeshiva Mehem. In all the days of our forefathers, they never, literally, yeshiva never separated from them. Which also means that in all the days of the history of our people, there were always those who were immersed in spirituality. The Gemara says, for example, Hayib Mitzrayim, Yeshiva Imam. When we were in Egypt, there was Yeshiva Shenemar. Lech v'asafta as zikne Yisrael. I will say, the way the Gemara is identifying yeshiva is how? The presence of zikenim. Because remember, if you go with the idea that zakin ultimately means zesha kana chachma, it refers to one who has acquired wisdom. What the Gemara is pointing out is, wherever we were, there were always zikenim. The presence of zikenim indicates that there is some group of people that are devoting themselves to spiritual pursuits. So, for example, Mitzrayim says, Lech v'asafta as zikne Yisrael. Go and assemble the elders of the Jewish people. Hayu b'midbar, when we were in the desert, yeshiva man, there was yeshiva with us, shene'emar, asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Gather for me 70 men from among the elders of Israel. Avraham Avinu, zakin v'yoshev yeshiva. Avraham Avinu was older and literally established himself as sitting, as dwelling within spirituality. Shene'emar, v'avraham zakin ba bayomim. Yitzchak Avinu Zakin v'yoshev yeshiva hayeshneimar vahiki zakin Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu Zakin v'yoshev yeshiva hayeshneimar ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mezoken. Both have the idea again. Everywhere you're seeing the appearance of the word zakin indicates that this is an individual who is steeped in spirituality, which is what the Gemara calls yeshiva. Eliezer Eved Avram. Zokin v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, was a zokin and literally established or steeped in his spirituality. Shneemar v'yomer Avram el avdo zikan beso hamoshel b'chol asher lo. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his home, who ruled over everything, right? Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. Amar Rab Elazar shemoshel b'toras rabo. Rabbi Elazar said that what? That literally he rules over the Torah of his Rebbe. He's in charge, and that Eliezer was not just a servant. Eliezer was a disciple. And because of that, ultimately, he, so to speak, he ruled, meaning he made sure that he did help disseminate the Torah of his Rebbe. Who Damesek Eliezer? He was Damesek Eliezer. And I will say, the Pasha Peshat of Damesek Eliezer means he was from Damascus. He was from Damascus. But the Gemara Darshins, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, what does it mean, Damesek? It's very beautiful. Shedola umashko mitoraso sharabo lachirim. Literally, he would draw, dola means like to draw, umashke, and to give to drink, from the Torah of his Rebbe to others. That Eliezer was in charge, what does it mean, in charge of his master's household, both physically and spiritually, that he made sure to disseminate his Rebbe's Torah. Amarav, we'll say this is a wild Gemara. Amarav, kiyem Avram Avinu kala Torah kula. Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. The entire Torah, Shneemar, Ekev Asher Shama Avraham Bekolim, because now the Torah says, because Avraham listened to my voice. Now, the truth is, the drush is from the end of the Pasuk, because the end of the Pasuk, it says, Avraham listened to my call, Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Lisorosai. And we'll say, what do all of these words mean? He listened to my mitzvos, to my statutes, to my commandments, to my Torahs. So the Gemara is understanding that to mean Avraham Avinu literally kept the entire Torah. But there's another piece also. Remember the word Ekev. Ekev, the Gemara often darshins Vahaya, Ekev Tishmaun. Ekev means the heel, even small things. Even small things. See, either way, the point is Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah. Amar Sinir Barchir Lerav, listen to this. Ve'ima, Sheva Mitzvos. Maybe Kala Torah just means the seven Noahide laws. How do you know it means the 613 Mitzvos? So the Gemara says, Abosa, you know already, by the way, when the Gemara makes a statement that Avraham Avinu kept everything, everything is already hyperbole. Because no one person could keep everything, even if you're an Avraham Avinu. If you're not a Kohen, right, you can't do certain things. It's not a Beis Hamikdash, you can't do certain things. If you're not living, Avraham Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael, but if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael as occupied by the Jewish people, you can't do. So everything already is not an absolute term. So Gemara says, once I know that everything is not absolute, maybe it means seven mitzvos. Seven mitzvos may not. So I'll tell you why that can't be. Ha ikanami mila. It's for sure more than Shem Mitzvahs. Why? Because Avraham Avinu had the mitzvah of mila. And mila is not part of the seven Noahide laws. The Ema Sheva Mitzvahs of mila. Okay, so maybe everything means what? The seven Noahide laws and bris mila. Imkein mitzvah sai visora sai lamli. But then what do you do with all those extra words? So mishmarti chuko sai sora sai mitzvah. What is that all coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, Amar Avitim Ravashi. Kiem Avraham Avinu afilu Erev Tavshilin. Avraham Avinu kept everything. Even what? Even Erev Tavshilin. Now I will say, what does this mean? First of all, Erev Tavshilin is a din in Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golios. Right? So what does it mean? I shouldn't say that. I take that back. Erev Tavshilin is not only a din of Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golios. Erev Tavshilin is any din of Yom Tov going into Shabbos. So what does it mean? What it's saying over here is that right? It's Drabbanon. Yeah. Is that Avraham Avinu even kept Drabbanon? Shene Emar Torah Sai Achas Torah Shebichsav VaAchas Torah Shebalcha. Avraham Avinu, what does it mean? You kept my Torah's plural. You kept my written law and you kept my oral law. So I will say again, interestingly enough, although we understand normally Torah Shebalcha to mean, again, Torah Shabbat Peh is also given at Sinai, is also divine. Here, the Gemara is using Torah Shabbat Peh as a reference to Dinei Dirabbanan. Dinei Dirabbanan. Then I both say again, how to exactly understand this? Is the Gemara literally saying, Avraham Avinu, can you imagine this on Erev Yom Tov Sarah? No, you know, bring me the egg and the matzah. Is that what the Gemara is literally saying over here? So the truth is, some understand that, yes, that Avraham Avinu intuitively, without being commanded, but intuitively understood all of the mitzvahs. It's the same way that Rashi brings down that when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu to announce the birth of Yitzchak, so the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu served them cakes, which the Gemara identifies as matzahs. Why? Because it was Pesach. So the Avishai is Pesach is Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does Avraham Avinu have to do? Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's nothing even going on yet. So why are you eating matzah? So the Maral, the first both of them, is explaining this idea that Avraham Avinu had a specific spiritual sensitivity that sensitized him to the reality of the mitzvahs. Remember, the fact that our mitzvahs are linked to historical events is only one dimension of the mitzvah. Each mitzvah has a deeper spiritual dimension. Avraham Avinu understood the deeper spiritual dimension of mitzvahs even before the historical realities that they're connected to even occurred. So does it literally mean over here that Avraham Avinu kept Erev Tavshilin? It could, but it could also mean that what the Gemara is trying to express to us is that Avraham Avinu was tuned in to the right spiritual frequency, that mitzvahs were intuitive to him, that he understood them, he saw them within the very fabric of the world, even though what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not yet commanded them. Okay, weiter. Masi ben Shmuel Omer, for Omer Hain. So also remember, it goes back now to the Mishnah. So Masi ben Chorash says the following. Masi ben Shmuel says that he would say that the Heyer Pnei Mizrach Atshe B'Chevron, has the entire eastern horizon until Chevron become illuminated. For who Omer Hain? And he would say yes. So the Gemara says, Man Omer Hain. Who said yes? If you want to say it's the guy who's on the elevation, that doesn't make sense, because then what he's doing is he's answering his own question. Literally means he's dreaming and he's interpreting the dream. So also, what is he? He's going up there and he's saying, has the dawn dawned? Has the dawn arrived until Chevron? He says, yes. Right? So right, I'm sorry, a soliloquy. Right? Is that what's happening over here? Ella, no. Ella, hach dekai a'ara. Rather, it must be the guy who's standing on the ground. Somebody says, Mina Yoda. So how would he know? Meaning, how would the guy on the ground know that the dawn has arrived until Chevron? So the Gemara says, "Iba yisema hach dekaya ara, viba yisema hach dekaya igra." So okay, we can look at this two different ways. Either it's the guy who's on the ground, or it's the guy who's on the rooftop. How so? Iba yisema hach dekaya igra. If you want to say it's the guy on the rooftop, listen to this. Amar iu heyer pnei kala mizrach va'amale hach dekaya ara. Ad Shebechevron. So we'll say what would happen. In the first version, the guy on the rooftop would go ahead and say, the entire dawn, the entire horizon until Chevron has become light, has become illuminated. And the guy on the bottom, the guy standing, which would probably be this guy, would say, is it light all the way until Chevron? Va'amrel Ihu. And the guy on the rooftop would say, Hain, yes. Second possibility is V'ibay Seima, Hach Dekaya Ara, the guy who is standing on the ground, Amar Ihu, Heyer Penekal Mizrach, was an interrogative. The guy standing on the ground would yell up to the guy on the rooftop, has the entire horizon until the eastern horizon until Chevron illuminated? And he would say, Amarle, and the guy on the rooftop would say, Ad Shebe Chevron, yes, all the way until Chevron. Amarle, Hain. And the guy on the bottom would say, good. Right? Hain over here doesn't mean yes. Hain over here means good. Oh, that's what I wanted to know. Right? That's what I wanted to know. All right, mostly not. We'll stop over here. Pick up a very merry session tomorrow.
The Chevron's to the south. They say that the sun has come all the way to where you can see a Chevron.
That is correct. That is correct. Which is even a great ring, massive and Shmuel, is more than correct. It's more than just eastern rising. It's even now shedding light to the south. That is correct.
Tomorrow,
7:45. No, 7:45 is going to be what we're doing going forward in merry session.
That's a